for the next 15 days. And then finally, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to hear from Roger Goodell's lips who the Indianapolis Colts are going to take with the 15th overall pick, assuming that they stay at 15. We're going to talk about shelves. There are always shelves. There are always tiers in the draft. Where do they exist within the individual position groups? I think the Colts got to take a cornerback because that's the way this thing tiers out. Like, you've got first round quality. And here's the other thing. Wide receivers, man. You take a wide receiver in the first round, you are opening yourself up to a world of problems and about a two-thirds chance you're going to miss on that pick. Much better to take a wide receiver in the second round and try to get lucky than try to get lucky with a wide receiver in the first round. And that's what it is. You got about as much chance in the second round of hitting it as you do in the first. So why use 15 to take a wide receiver when you can use 46? That's the question. We are going to talk about Brock Bowers as well. Should he be a Colt? Should he be a target at 15? We're going to talk about the Pacers. The Indiana Pacers, they could finish in a five-way tie. They got two games left. This isn't some like pie in the sky, almost never going to happen type of thing. They get a chance to finish in a five-way tie for second. I have no idea what the tie break is for a five-way tie, but I think there's a chance that we find out on Sunday after the Pacers end their season at Cambridge Fieldhouse against the Atlanta Hawks. I think they win out. And when they do that, when they beat the Cavaliers and then they beat the Hawks, all kinds of good things can happen. If they win out, then you have no chance to be any worse than fifth in the East. And you got a chance, like I said, to finish in that five-way tie for second. And that's when them playing really well against good teams and really poorly against bad teams kind of weighs in the favor of the Pacers, depending on what that tie break is. We'll talk about Mackenzie Holmes. She's going to undergo knee surgery, and she's going to miss a 2024 WNBA season. Speaking of the WNBA, holy cow, do you know that the Fever are going to be on national TV 36 out of 40 games? That's the Caitlin Clark effect. And if you were sweating it out, if you were saying, my God, on Monday, what if the Pacers don't take Caitlin Clark? Well, they wouldn't be on national TV 36 times if the Pacers, sports and entertainment folks, of which the Fever are a part of, didn't tell the WNBA, who told then the TV partners, that yes, indeed, the Fever will be taking Caitlin Clark with the first overall pick. Hell, I'd do that, right? You'd do that. We'd all do that. This is the most popular female athlete that I can recall, like, in my lifetime. I don't think there's anybody even close. Maybe FloJo? I don't know. But I think that Caitlin Clark is a one-of-a-kind unicorn, and you got to put her on TV as much as possible. And if you're the Fever, you are going to move merchandise at a level you've never moved it before. You're going to move more merch in the first month after Caitlin Clark is selected in the first round than you've moved in your entire history. I'm buying a Clark jersey, primarily because Clark was my dad's first name. So I buy things with Clark on the back, like Dallas Clark. I got a Dallas Clark jersey. You got to get Clark stuff, right? If your dad's name was Clark. The Masters begins tomorrow. I had the par 3 contest. I think it's still going on. I was watching it until we started. This Masters is kind of special because this is the final broadcasting weekend for Vern Lundquist, who has been absolutely sublime. He is superb as a broadcaster. We're going to talk about what makes Vern Lundquist sublime toward the end of what we do today. And this is live, so there's no speeding ahead. There's no saying, I don't want to hear about the Colts anymore. I want to hear about Vern Lundquist. You can't do it. This is, hey, you're watching as it happens. So that's the way it goes. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Never fails to make me laugh to do that. That's kind of sad. Brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. MyBookie is wonderful. MyBookie is the place you go. Listen, you use promo code Kent, and you're in line for up to a $1,000 sign-up bonus. That's winning before you even play. You want to play the Masters? You want to bet the Masters? You go right ahead. And I'll tell you who to take, who I got in the Masters. We'll do that toward the end also. But my bookie's cool. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at my bookie. Want to remind you, we're giving away our lads draft guides every single day, giving away one to some lucky viewer who is both a subscriber and DMs me his or her email address. So we got someplace to send the electronic copy of this thing. It's an outstanding book. Make sure and subscribe. Make sure and give the thumbs up. Like the video because it's the good thing to do. It's a generous thing to do. It's a polite thing to do. I like every video I watch. You should too. I like all the videos, not just me. And if you want to make a donation, make a donation. Let me know who you would take. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, if you're Chris Ballard and you want to share with great Chris Ballard who you would take at number 15, assuming that the Colts drafted 15, which we will for this exercise. All right, the cornerback position, I think, is kind of pretty, it's tiered out in a way that I think is accurate. And in the way I think that the Colts would tier it out, I think Quinyon Mitchell is the best of the bunch. I think Terrion Arnold is the second best of the bunch. And then I've got Cooper DeJean as the third best of the bunch. And then we move down a level, and we've got Nate Wiggins out of Clemson and Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Bama. Then we've got another tier. That's the second tier. Only two players in that second tier. Mike Sonristal from Michigan, Ennis Rakestraw, no relation to Greg Rakestraw. Greg Rakestraw, the odds of this being some distant relative, that a distant relative, given the genetic soup present in the Greg Rakestraw family clan, that Ennis Rakestraw somehow comes from that part of that Rakestraw cluster, the odds are tremendously against that. Greg, I don't believe anybody in the Greg Rakestraw line has ever played cornerback at all. Maybe defensive tackle. Doubt they played a lot of cornerback. No offense to Greg, who I'm sure back in the day, a good tennis player, but a wonderful defensive tackle. And then you've got TJ Tampa. All right. Who I don't think, you know what? Slow seems to work for the Colts when they take corners. But me, I'm taking Quinyon Mitchell, and if he's off the board, I'm taking Terrion Arnold. I like Terrion Arnold. Both these guys and Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean keeps popping in my head because, number one, he's a really good special teamer. Number two, he was a four-sport athlete in high school. And that's the thing that I like about Terrion Arnold as well, is that basketball was kind of his first sport. And then, you know what, decided no more basketball for me. I think I can play this game, football, at a really high level. And he did. Talked really into staying with football, and it's good that he did. He has been coached up at Alabama. The one bad thing about that is, though, that when you're coached up at Alabama, you come into the league ready to play and kind of at a level of potential that the other guys can kind of rough into. You know what I mean? Like, if you take Quinyon Mitchell, you're looking at a guy who could achieve tremendous growth. He went to Toledo, and nothing against Toledo, but maybe he didn't get the coaching that you can get at Bama. So Terrion Arnold is going to be closer to a finished product and less likely to ascend to greatness, if that makes sense, and I think that it does. Wide receiver, that group. I got Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, and Thomas. So there you go. Harrison and Neighbors are going to be gone. Maybe Adunze falls a little bit, but I doubt it. And then you got Thomas, who's going to be around in all likelihood at 15. That's an interesting pick for me. Another interesting pick is Brock Bowers, because Brock Bowers, like Colts fans, are utterly split on this guy. They are either 1 or 10 in evaluating Brock Bowers. Either people think that he's going to be the next kind of offensive version, not blocking necessarily, although he competes at blocking, but receiving version of like Rob Gronkowski type guy who can get out in space, catch a football, and run with it. Although Gronk's bigger, obviously. Maybe Bowers can put on some weight. You know, you've got to have a really, really good tight end in order to compete for a championship in the NFL. Maybe it's Brock Bowers, maybe it's not, but there's one. He's the unicorn tight end in this draft. Colts, of course, already have five starting tight ends. So what will they do? A says, seems to me the price going big in the draft is lower than the price going big in free agency. When you're at 15, why not trade up for Brock Bowers? Because maybe Bowers is going to be available. We don't know that Adunze is going to be in the top 10. I think it's likely, but you could have four quarterbacks in the top 10. You could have two offensive tackles in the top 10. You could have Dallas Turner as an edge in the top 10, although it seems that he's fallen a little bit, but nobody knows. You're going to have a big group of guys. Alt's going to be in the top 10, like I said. You got guys who are going to be taken early. And Adunze, while a 4.5 or 4.45 40 guy with great size and goes up and competes like hell for the football, maybe teams are just kind of like, Do you trade up with the Broncos at 12 if Adunze is still on the board? That's an interesting question. It would appear that the Colts are done with defensive linemen. They have at least eight defensive linemen returning and the addition of Raekwon Davis. I can't believe that the Colts are going to go get a defensive tackle or edge in the first round. Offensive linemen, they got to be set. I mean, you got everybody, right? I mean, you've even got backups that are under contract. Quarterback set, linebackers, they could use one, I think. And so that leaves corners, wide receivers, safeties, and tight ends. The thing about DeJean also is maybe you play him at free. That could happen. So really, really an interesting guy to me. If the Pacers win out, let's talk about the Indiana Pacers. I have climbed upon my perch of the bandwagon, which I always do the day after the national championship game in college basketball. If the Pacers win out, the Bucks lose out, including two to the Magic. The Knicks lose two of their last three. They have games at the Celtics, against the Nets, and against the Bulls. And the Cavs win the two games that they don't play against the Pacers. They play the Pacers in Cleveland on Friday night. You could have five teams with 48 wins. Five teams with a 48-34 record. Unprecedented in the annals of the NBA. That would mean that the Colts would have to rely on a tiebreaker to be placed somewhere between second and sixth. I don't know exactly where that would be. I think it'd be an interesting thing. It would be interesting to go through all the tiebreaker scenarios. It would be drudgery for me and for you to hear it. It would be tedium personified. I don't do tedium, and I don't do math. So this is not a possibility. The Masters begins today. Tiger's going for the record for consecutive cuts made. He made the cut last year, but had to withdraw before playing on Saturday because things were just wrong with him physically, and that's the way it went. Physically, this could be a bit of a struggle for Tiger because the weather is going to intervene tomorrow. You're supposed to get thunderstorms tomorrow morning. The weather's going to break at about noon or 1 o'clock, but how many people are they going to be able to get through that first round? Tiger's set to go off in the afternoon. If he has to play 27 on Friday, that's bad news for Tiger Woods. LIV guys, they're back. That means Brooks Koepka at 20-1. That is, can't bet on Koepka. I'd never bet on Koepka because I don't like him. Scheffler is 4-1. That's preposterous. Rory is 11-1. Victor Hovland, 33-1. You bet a hunch on Victor. He comes home on Sunday and puts on the green jacket. You get $3,400? That sounds ridiculous. And I am all over it. DJ is plus 4,800. I don't think he's going to win. The LIV guys, I can't root for a LIV guy. But Hovland, I can root for, and especially at 33-1. Masters, about an inch and a half of rain expected in Augusta over about the next 20 hours. This course has the best drainage of any golf course in the world. So we'll see how it handles the water. They may just go ahead and play in the wet. It's supposed to be windy too. This does not bode well for a whole bunch of golfers. And then it's going to clear out and it's going to be beautiful this weekend. This is Vernon Lundquist's final Masters. So final broadcast as a professional. He is so good. Do you know why he's so good? Not because of what he says, but the way he punctuates a moment with a very brief phrase. Like, in your life, right? And yes, sir, in 86, you can't hear yes, sir, without getting goosebumps because of what it meant in 86 with Nicklaus hitting that birdie putt. Awesome. And then, oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that? He knows when to let the crowd take the moment. He and Vin Scully and Jack Buck, they just understood the rhythm of how they could augment what was going on, not dominate what was going on. This is not what sports broadcasters, play-by-play guys should do. Yammer and yammer and yammer and yammer like they're getting paid by the word. You're not. Vern Lundquist, perfection. Vin Scully, perfection. Awesome at the way they did their jobs. Did it so well that you can still hear their great calls, including Vern. What a career for Vern Lundquist. Wonderful to be able to hear him one more time, get behind a microphone, and help us feel these moments as they unfold. He's so good at this. If you're a sports broadcaster, listen to the sparsity of his words. Listen to that. Listen to him never dominate. Just understand what's necessary in the moment to make that moment feel special. Not Tiger Woods from the trap, he tripped, blah, 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 it's running toward the cup, and toward the cup he goes, and it rounds around the cup, and in. No. In your life, have you ever seen anything like that? Yes, sir. God, it's awesome. Vern Lundquist, the best to ever do it. Emulate him. Don't emulate these young boobs that... No. Don't be so verbal. Let the moment decide the moment. You punctuate it. That's good advice.